If you have your Bibles, look with us to Matthew chapter 2. We'll start at verse number 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." The Christmas story. It is Christmas time here on Joy Christian Radio and here at Sunday Worship. We're celebrating the birth of Christ as well. The true meaning of Christmas. None of the other meanings of Christmas have any bearing whatsoever on the truth. They're all fables and all fiction, but the birth of Christ is real. There were wise men who visited Christ from afar. They came from a long distance away, and they traveled following a very special star. Well, who were these wise men that visited the Christ child? They were seekers. Matthew chapter 2 told us that. They have come from the east and have come to worship him. They saw that star and followed that star. Now, we have an image in our minds of the wise men who visited Christ in a house and not in the stable. And it often looks like three Arabic fellows sitting around with their gifts over the baby Jesus with their heads bowed and eyes closed. There are three, according to tradition, but the Bible never tells us there were only three wise men. So there could have been many more than three, or even less. We don't really know. However, there were three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But who were these wise men, regardless of the number of them? Well, they might have been Jewish scholars. You see, around 600 BC, the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem in three waves, several years apart, finally decimated the city in 585 BC. They killed many, and they took the best and brightest off to Babylon. 70 years later, Babylon was conquered by the Medes and the Persians. King Cyrus had resolved to help the Jews return to Jerusalem where they could rebuild their temple. The thing is, Jerusalem was still in ruins at the time. Many Jews became comfortable in Babylon. Many decided to stay in Babylon, in present-day Iraq, that is, and rather than go home during that day. In fact, a group of Jewish scholars there continued as the highest authority in Judaism. These rabbis compiled the Babylonian Talmud around 600 AD. So you can see that the Babylon had raised an important place for Jewish scholarship for a very long time. It's possible that Jewish scholars from Babylon studied the promises of a Messiah to come and were inspired to seek him through their own scholarship, reasoning, and revelationatory experiences. They may also have been Zoroastrians. The Zoroastrian concept, including the idea of a single God, heaven, a hell, and a day of judgment, may have been first introduced to the Jewish community of Babylonia, where people from the kingdom of Judah had come and living in captivity for decades. So the wise men may have actually been Persian, but influenced by their own beliefs and those of Jewish scholars to seek for the Messiah. Well, these wise men were devoted followers of Christ, whoever they were. Matthew chapter 2, verse 5 says, "So they said to him in the Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." Well, let's ask some questions about the wise men and their journey, shall we? What was that star they were following? Have you ever wondered about that star? Many people have speculated about the star, but was it a star like the stars we see at night, or perhaps we hear about in our city these days? Well, this particular star was very unique. In verse 9, it said, "The star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the place the child was." We see that this star led them directly to Jesus. That's quite amazing when you think about it. The star was like a GPS beacon leading the wise men directly to Jesus. No ordinary star could do that. Let me give you an example of a simple thing that you can do to prove what I'm talking about. Go outside at night, take a look up, and follow a single star until you're standing directly under it. Can you do that? Well, normal stars are so far away that you can't possibly tell if you're standing under it or not. But this star was very different. It was a supernatural light. It must have been within the Earth's atmosphere to lead them on in this way. Some have speculated maybe it was an angel shining as a light to lead them. Well, maybe it was. Whatever it was, it tells us a simple lesson. God wanted those wise men to be there at that time. He used miraculous means to make sure they came to the right place and found the truth. They were spiritually wise because they sought to know about the one true God and His only Son. This desire to worship the King set them off on an amazing journey. We're going to take a look at four things about their journey in the message today. First of all, it was a journey of sacrifice. Secondly, their journey was a journey of faith. Third, their journey was a journey of worship. And last, their journey was a journey of obedience. The first one in the order that we just mentioned, their journey was a sacrifice. It was a journey of tremendous sacrifice. Traveling at that time was a lot different than it is today. They couldn't just jump into a car or hop on an airplane and go out and arrive later that same day. Traveling was lengthy, it was wearying, and it was also dangerous. We don't know how they traveled, but the fastest way at that time was by camel. Even if they took camels, it would have taken a very long time, maybe even months, to arrive at their destination. You know, sometimes when I travel on a plane, I feel uncomfortable because I'm a little bit tall and the seats are too close together for my legs. Well, let's be honest for a minute. Have you ever complained about air travel? If there's nothing to complain about compared to what the wise men had, we have air conditioning and padded seats, attendants to bring us water and food whenever you click a button. The next time you're on an airplane, don't complain about the seats. Instead, thank God you're not walking or riding on a camel that spits. Have any of you ever ridden a camel? Was it comfortable riding around between those humps? I have never ridden a camel, but I can tell you from those that I know who have, they say it was not comfortable at all. Desert weather often varies greatly between the heat of the day and the cold of the night. And you know, there could be storms on the way, riding on that bumpy old camel. Towns would be few and far between, so they'd have to keep traveling. It would also be dangerous. The maps were incomplete, the roads were not developed, and there was a lot of thieves and bandits hanging around. So it could have been very treacherous to make that journey. Their journey was uncomfortable, inconvenient, and time-consuming. We know that much. All of us have our comfort zones. Within those nice little areas, we're fine, but we're not okay when we're willing to go outside of that comfort zone. Would traveling for months on a long journey by camel through the desert without a clear destination take you out of your comfort zone? It certainly would me. The wise men sacrificed their own comfort for the King. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, should do no less. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." After Jonah's lesson in the whale, he learned what it meant to serve the Lord. Think for just a moment about what God might be calling you to give up for the sake of following after Him. It could have been a half an hour less in bed in the morning so that we could study the Bible and learn about our King. Maybe He calls us to sacrifice our luxurious lifestyle or even cut down on the amount of expensive food we eat so that we can give sacrificially to the King. Maybe we'd have to stay in a city or a country far from home longer than we planned because the King has called us to serve there. It could take us out of our comfort zone by approaching new people in the church and starting conversations with them, even when it's uncomfortable, and inviting them to come to our home. You see, you and I are not called to a life of comfort and ease. We're called to a life of sacrifice. Their journey was also a journey of faith, as we said. Imagine a friend asking them before their departure, "Are you going? Where are you going exactly?" "We don't know," would be the reply. "Well, how are you going to find them? How are you going to know when you get there?" "Not sure about that either." "How long will you be gone?" "Well, yet to be determined." "Wow, to be wise men, you guys don't know very much, do you?" Isn't that the way we would respond to the wise men today? These wise men didn't have a lot of information in front of them, though there was evidence in the scripture that the star itself was no 100% proof they could find the king they were searching for. But they believed God. We see the evidence of this in their journey and also in verse 2, when they ask Herod, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We've come to worship him." They believed that Jesus is the king of the Jews, and his star would lead them to him. They were not only the only ones to see the star, but most people ignored it while they took action. They had a faith that was a sign from God announcing the birth of Christ. They wanted to know some of the scriptures and what the prophets had said about him, and they believed the prophets. This belief led to action. They were willing to sacrifice comfort and security and to see him and to worship him. They were willing to face the ridicule of their friends. They were willing to leave their homes and their places of comfort. It would seem they were also willing to forego their means of making money for this period of time. They not only were not paid during this time, but they brought expensive gifts with them. Why? Because of their faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, because he who comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." These verses clearly demonstrate why these wise men did what they did. They had never seen Jesus, but they were convinced of the truth of his birth, and so they set off in faith, and their faith was rewarded. Chapter 2, verse 10, they rejoiced when they saw the star with exceeding great joy. God never abandoned these men in the middle of their journey. Notice in the verse, the wise men say, "They saw the star in the east." Verse 9 says, "They had seen the star in the east." While they were still in their own country before setting off, they saw the star. Evidently, in the middle of their journey, they did not see the star for a while, and that's why they went to Jerusalem, perhaps expecting the king of the Jews to be born in the capital and asking about where he was to be born. But then at the very end of their journey, God revealed the star to them again, and they were overjoyed to see this sign from God once again and to know they were almost there. From this whole idea, we can learn two very simple principles. Number one, following God's plan for your life is a joyful thing. When you know you are where God wants you to be, you too can rejoice with exceeding great joy. Secondly, God guides us to where he wants us to go, but he may only show us one step at a time. While he did this partially supernaturally for the Magi, he also did this through his word. Both the prophecies they knew and the one they did not know that we now read about in verse 6, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, guided them to their destination. God's word indeed is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We can learn a lot from the faith of the Magi. When our King calls, we must respond to the challenges and set off on the journey he has prepared for us, knowing he will reward our faith as well. The faith that God wants us to have is much like a child jumping into his father's arms. When my boys were growing up and learning to swim, sometimes I would ask them to jump off the edge and into my arms, into the pool. The first time I did that was difficult to convince them to do it, but after they got bold and did it the first time, I would catch them as they went into the water, and the next time was easier, and every time thereafter it got easier and easier, until they could jump in with confidence. Faith in God is much the same. If we go ahead and jump, He's going to catch us. It's our faith that'll be confirmed as we see God's faithfulness, as we are faithful to Him. If you're not faithful to God, your faith will never grow. Throughout history, people of faith have been willing to respond to the challenges of the unknown over and over again. One example of that is William Carey. He was a shoemaker when one day he heard of the millions of people in India who had not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He believed the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He believed that verse was speaking directly to him. So he volunteered to go to India, but he was not applauded. He was scorned. A minister told him, "Young man, sit down here. When God wants to convert the heathen, He'll do it without your help." Carey went on anyway, supporting himself for 7 years. He worked without seeing a single convert in his work, but by the end of his life, he saw hundreds of churches and thousands of converts. Today, he's known as the father of modern missions. He was a man of faith. Well, how about you? What journey of faith has God called you to do? Perhaps He's calling you to give up a job that's not bringing you closer to Him, but the salary is so nice. You'll have faith to quit and trust Him with the result. Will you or not? Perhaps you're single and want to be married, and the person you're interested in you is not a follower of Christ. Will you decide by faith to say no to that person, trusting in God's plan for you instead? Each of us faces different challenges, and we need faith. But we only have one Lord, and He will be faithful to us no matter what we face. If you know you need to embark on a journey of faith, but you haven't taken that first step, let today be that day. Their journey was a journey of worship. Matthew 2 and 11 says, "After coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother and fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." After a long journey, they finally arrived. Their action was simple. They fell to the ground and worshiped Christ the King. Have you ever heard the popular Christmas song, "We Three Kings"? The Bible does not exactly say there were kings, nor that there were three of them. But whatever the case, they were well educated. Just the fact that they could travel to Jesus from abroad and bring such expensive gifts tell us they were wealthy. The Magi were important people and likely used to having important people to serve them. So what did they do when they saw the young child? Well, these great men who were full of wisdom and knowledge prostrated themselves on the ground before Christ. Their actions showed humility and tremendous faith. When you have visited a friend with a new child, have you ever bowed down to worship that child? If so, don't raise your hand or admit that. You don't worship a baby. This act was highly unusual. Very few people understood what this boy was and what he was going to do. But it seems like, at least in part, the Magi understood. They faced many inconveniences on a long journey, and they arrived so they could do what they were called to do, bow down and worship. What a great response. Jesus Christ, the God-man, deserved their worship. Philippians 2:10 says that one day every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. These wise men were the very first in recorded history to ever bow before the Christ. No one told them to do so. No one made them do it. They chose to worship Christ. They were the very first of many. And their journey was a journey of obedience. Matthew 2:12 says, "Having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." Now, this is the first direct command we see they received from the Lord, sent to the wise men. They could have made a lot of excuses for disobeying this. Perhaps returning through Jerusalem was the fastest way back. Herod seemed genuine and nice, and surely wouldn't be dangerous to tell him about the boy on the way out. After all, it was just a dream. But they didn't guess what they knew God had commanded them to do. They followed a simple command with a simple obedience. It doesn't seem like a difficult thing to do, and it wasn't. But a lot of times people disobey simple commands from God. Obeying this simple command was extremely important. It gave Joseph and his family time to escape before Herod murdered all the babies in town. Disobedience could have been disastrous for the Christ child. One could argue that God would have saved Jesus in another way if the Magi had disobeyed, and this is probably true. But we can also see from this that God uses our obedience to accomplish His own plans. And if we trust in God and have a humble attitude to worship Him, our lives will be characterized. Here are some questions to ponder. I asked God to take away my pain. God said, "No, it's not for me to take away the pain, but for you to give it up." I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said, "No, her spirit is whole. Her body is only temporary." I asked God to grant me patience, and God said, "No. Patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted. It's earned." I asked God to give me happiness. God said, "No. I gave you blessings. Happiness is up to you. It's your choice." I asked God to spare me pain, and God said, "No, suffering draws you apart from the worldly cares and brings you closer to me." I asked God to make my spirit grow, and God said, "No, you must first grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you fruitful." I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life. God said, "No, I will give you life that you may enjoy all things." I asked God to give me love, to help me love others as much as He loves me. And God said, "Ah, finally, you have the right idea." Wise men came to worship the King. They sacrificed their time and energy. They inconvenienced themselves. They presented Him with marvelous gifts. On Christmas, we too remember King Jesus. He's worthy of our sacrifice. He's worthy of our faith. He's worthy of our worship. And He's worthy of our obedience. Sometimes, though, we tend to overlook the obvious, and we miss God's best blessing when we do that. A true story was told of a Thanksgiving day that was drawing near. The first grade teacher gave her class a fun assignment to draw a picture of something which they were thankful for. Most of the class might immediately be considered economically disadvantaged, but still many would celebrate the holiday with turkey and other traditional goodies of the season. These, the teacher thought, would be the subjects of her students' art, and they certainly were indeed that. But Douglas drew a different kind of picture. You see, Douglas was a different kind of boy. He was the teacher's true child of misery, frail, and always unhappy. As other children played at recess, Douglas was likely to stand by her side. One could only guess at the pain Douglas felt behind those sad eyes. His picture was definitely different that day. When asked to draw a picture of something for which he was thankful, he drew a hand. Nothing else. Just an empty human hand. His abstract image captured the imagination of his peers. Whose hand could it be? One guessed it was the hand of a farmer, because farmers raise turkeys, and we all have turkeys at Thanksgiving. Another suggested maybe it was a police officer, because the police officers care and protect people. Still others guessed it was the hand of God, because God feeds us. And so the discussion went, until the teacher almost forgot about the young artist himself. When the children had gone to other assignments, she paused at Douglas's desk, bent down and asked him, "Douglas, whose hand did you draw?" The little boy looked away and muttered, "It was yours, teacher." She recalled the time she had taken his hand and walked with him here or there, as she had the other students. How often she had said to him, "Take my hand, Douglas, and you and I will go outside." Or, "Let me show you how to hold your pencil." Or, "Let's you and I do this together." Douglas was most thankful for his teacher's hand. Brushing aside a tear, she went on with her work. I'm glad the wise men didn't just pass by God's star without inquiring as to what it meant and what God was asking them to do. Today, wise men still seek the Messiah.
Before the song started, the world brokenhearted was dreamlessly passing the long empty days. Then a dark, lonely hillside was spangled with light, and a song burst into the night. He started the whole world singing a song. The words and the music were there all along. What the song had to say was that love found a way to start the world singing a song. He started the whole world singing a song. The words and the music were there all along. What the song had to say was that love found a way to start the world singing a song. He started the whole world singing a song. The words and the music were there all along. What the song had to say was that love found a way to start the world singing. Start the world singing. Start the world singing a song.
Want to say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.